وبه نستعين إنه خير الناصر المعين. We are continuing session number 5 of Untold, the Story of Karbala, and today is the 1st of December 2011. I just want to make a request that please, if you're going to come and listen to the lecture, be faster, and because if you look around, it's about 10:30 now. We have said 9:45. It's 45 minutes. I know you guys have your tea and coffee and all the rest of the things, but it's so unmatchable with learning. Learning, I mean, I myself don't eat anything before. After I finish, I go and eat. It usually, the reason is very obvious reason. Of course, everyone feels it even. There is no need to give the meaning, the reasoning for it. But one of the things that is one of the biggest love in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the love of the soul for the body. Because soul without body cannot display, cannot show all its abilities. So when we eat, the whole engagement of the soul becomes in attending to the body, so that through the brains and digestion system, it leads and operates all the digesting process. And that takes the soul involved. That's why after food, we feel not feeling like you want to eat, to hear anything, or so. I'm not asking not to eat. I'm asking usually less than usual of your dinner, let alone sitting there having your tea and coffee. And okay, thank you very much. If you agree with me, salawat. I just do a quick summary because these topics must be all along with us, so that we can, when we go towards the end of the Muharram, I mean this 10 days, we are always having that in the background of our mind. The conclusion is going to be built upon this. Quickly we said, when, of course I didn't say this part, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam and to Shaitan, Ehbetu, when they were in paradise, basically that Ehbetu is a plural, so that refers to at least all the three of them, Adam, Hawa and Shaitan, were the ones who were commanded to leave and go down. So them coming down, it created two things. Adam, having been blown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes, so he had that set of characteristics, and having Shaitan with him, that was where the qara'iz and those things which coming from his material being there. So we are having two, I would say, isti'adat or potentials that we can display. That was one of the things we said. The other thing I said, I explained about what quwwa and isti'adat, or what potentiality and actuality is, and I gave the example of seed, which that tree that has not come out of the seed yet, that's in the realm of potentiality, or it is called realm of knowledge, near realm of ilm. That basically refers to ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So things which have not come out yet from the potentiality, or they have not come to the external being that we can see them, they are called in the realm of ilm, or they are still potential. And I said, that's a relative Adam, relative in existence. So what, there are two things which on the earth makes the intensity of existence. So when you look at material world is a mixture, everything around us is a mixture of potentiality and actuality. When you look at a tree, still a lot of potentiality is in that tree. For many years to come it has, or several years to come, it has some fruits to give. And also up to where it has come for the last 10 years, for instance, if it has been living and growing and giving fruits, that much of it is actual, but that much which has not come yet for the future years to come, that's the potential. So material world is a mixture of existence and non-existence. I would like to mention this. though some of these concepts may look too dry and cold and boring, but it has a lot of importance in understanding of what we want to conclude. And basically these are the type of studies that are required to open up a lot of ahadith. A lot of ahadith are only known through this sort of studies. A lot of ahadith, we have seen people, they read hadith, and because they do not understand it, they throw it away and say, no, this cannot be true. But I'm not saying all the ahadith are correct, but there are many ahadith that I have seen people throw it away, the mere reason being they do not understand, because the basic foundational work or study has not been done. It's as though if we send, we give a book of a university or a doctorate of mathematics to a person who has done only 4 or 5 years of mathematical works in the elementary school. Of course, he wouldn't understand them. Similarly, these studies are not any different. Studies of ahadith and ziyarat and du'as and Quran, a lot has to do with the type of study. So I said it to bring to your attention. If it's cold and dry, bear with it and try. Let's try to understand it so that it helps us to further understand the topic. So we said potentiality, the realm of matter is a realm which is a combination of non-existent and existence. And if you look at it around you, everything is like that. And the beauty of it is once we get to learn mentally to see the surrounding, you will see so much beauty in it. Masala, when you look at a tree, while that tree at the same time that is coming to actuality, when a tree is growing, and for instance growing an apple, that is being more and more actualized. That every day is more actuality. When you come and see the, and as an example, if the apple was this size, it has become now this size, that means it has become more actual. When next day you come and see, it has turned from yellow into a little bit of red, that means there is more actuality. Because all these things, they were in the potentiality of it, in the estedad of the tree. So when you see this is growing, while this is happening, coming to actuality, at the same time is creating a new potentiality. Because each of these apples are having some seeds in them, and those seeds are again full of some more potentialities. So it's really beautiful. That's why they call it the circle of existence. It's like a circle. It acts as a circle. From one side, it comes down from non-existence to existence, it goes up from non-existence to existence. It's going in a sphere, but from the other side, within it is creating, bringing into potentiality new fruits, new seeds, that's even for human beings like that, for animals is like that. When a human embryo is made, it's full of potentialities. While this potentiality is growing and coming to become an actual human being, that human being at the same time in his aslab or soul or whatever you want to call it, new potentialities are being created because that person is able to bring children himself. And it's not only about the children he brings, but other potentialities are in him. So the children that he has in his ability or potential or istidad to bring, that is mean he is also creating some potentiality while he is being actualized himself. So that's why they say creation is a circle. And circle is, you know, that is the most perfect shape. Even the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a circular shape. So matter, the reason that matter is a material world has the least intensity of wujud. The reason being is full of a mixture of inexistent and existence. That's why material world, we read a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He has created the material world, He has not looked at it for masalan. That's one of the hadith that He says. So all in all, the hadith suggests that material world is the most distant, not physical of course, status wise, material world is the most distant level to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is full of potentiality, whereas in Allah himself potentiality doesn't mean anything. Allah is absolute actuality. That means there is nothing that we can think in Allah will grow and later on he will learn or later on he will grow. That type of thing does not exist in the realm of Allah. So material world is the less intense. and the more, so the point I want to make today, extra to what I said in a few sessions ago, is the more we are actualizing, that means the more we are, intensity of our existence is increasing. Because existence, as I said, we also, as like any other thing around us, are combined with inexistence and existence, with potential and actuality. The more we are growing and learning or doing amal, so we are growing, the more intense we are becoming. So our intensity of existence is increasing. But in, masala, in the level of malaikatullah, angels, they don't have this because they have no potentiality. Angels are only actuality. That's why the realm of angels, which is the universe of Aq, is a realm of real nur, not nur of physical nur. Nur there meaning absolute intensity of actuality. So nevertheless, and then we said about that life is a combination of, as I said, we have those two combinations of khaba'is and tayyibat. So we are coming to this life to go through certain tests during the life so that we can bring out, show whether tayyibat, which is asma'ullah or good names of Allah or good things, good attributes in us, or whether we display from ourselves what I call khabisat, which is comes from instincts and qara'is. And I also explained, it was a bit of more of word, an analysis that why Imam Hussein alayhi salam became martyred. Yesterday, last night I explained that. We'll get on to that again towards the end of our sessions, not today, in a few days. But now what I want, having those things, I want to start from the khutbah of Imam Hussein, which I've said it three nights and I've not gone really got into it, but khutbah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the whole journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, if we look at it thoroughly, is a manual of suluk. Manual of suluk. Everyone knows what suluk means. Suluk means wayfaring. Wayfaring means going on the way of spirituality, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is called suluk. How? We look at it, how this journey is a journey of suluk. If you look at the elements that the start is exist in this journey, I know, and I'm sure you, a lot of you know that there are a lot of books written on suluk and manazil al-sa'irin and there are different people have written different books on suluk and spiritual ways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're all valid at their own place, but this is another, because different people write it differently. So it's not that there's not only one way. So, but this is a different, probably a different prescription of suluk. Number one, about this suluk, number one rule is, because Imam started as a journey, so that means in suluk, suluk is all about journeying. It means you will never stop anywhere. On any of the manazil of suluk or spirituality, we cannot stop. We cannot reach, for instance, reach to a level of being so much that we don't lie, we don't do a lot of sins, we do a lot of mustahabbat, we do the salatul layl, all nawafil and all this. This is a manzil by itself. We cannot stop there and say, okay, alhamdulillah, I've reached somewhere. So suluk is a journey. That means it's always you have to be on the go. That's the first and foremost prescription which you can get from this journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it is you have to be always on the go. That means we have to always to try to reach to a higher level, to a better level. And that comes, of course, with the practice of abandoning bad traits, abandoning khaba'is, and trying to give more zuhur and manifest those good names of Allah, becoming generous, becoming forgiving, becoming caring about people, a lot of other things like that. I mean, My intention is not to go to any too much details about this because time does not allow, and these issues can be really discussed in much more details. I'm just addressing index wise. So it's a journey. That means you have to be going all along on the different levels and always elevating. We should not a person on the suluk never comes back. Should always keep going up. Of course, sometimes on some of the stations you may stay longer because it might be more difficult depending on what are those bad things that you want to lose the habit of. Masalan, God forbid, if someone is in the masalan lying, has got the habit of lying, as astaghfirullah, I know we don't, but I'm just giving just as an example. It may take some time for him or for her to lose that habit. So that is, but you might go to a different level, and on that level you might stay a shorter time until you go to the higher level. That's a rule of this journey. Rule of suluk. Number two, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was with the right companions. In the suluk, he was leading a group of people. So all the people were quite like-minded. They were believing in the same thing. So a person who is on the way of suluk must have the right companions in life. Companions is not about only wife or spouse. Companions is friends. We have to avoid the company of time wasters. A lot of, that's one of the biggest issues. I mean, I'm sure the type of people that we are in this room, we are not having the company of bad people like, masalan, people who are totally against the way that we live or the way that we think. But one of the very common problems with us, with me, myself, as well as a lot of other people could be, is spending the time with time wasters. Time wasters are those people who come to you, knock at your door, they sit hours, and there is not really much. I'm not talking against seeing people. I'm only saying there is a level of Sele Rahim, seeing, visit people, families, relatives, that's one thing. But being sitting alone, with people just for the sake of passing the time, that's against suluk. A person like that cannot do suluk. One of the first probably thing in suluk is yaqze. And yaqze, which is wakefulness. And wakefulness is, one of the signs of wakefulness is people become conscious about time. How your time is passed in your life? How do you spend your time? That's very important. So, to make sure that we are on the right and way, it's important that we be careful how we spend our time, what type of people we associate with, and especially I keep repeating that we have to avoid time wasters. Because a lot of times it's very common thing that happens. A lot of times we have planned that I sit and do this dua, or I do this study, or something, whatever, I go to see my cousin as Salih Rahim. But there are a lot of people who are have some spare time, they want to spend it somehow, they just knock at the door and come in and take 2-3 hours easily by chatting here and there. And so by the time he goes, next person comes. It may not happen all along in one day, but I know I have tried a lot, and alhamdulillah today I don't have that problem. Meaning that people, if they want to come to see me, they make sure they talk, they ring me before, so they just do not walk in and take my time away. So the right companion, the right people to associate with, that was the second important thing on the way of suluk. Number three, who was leading that caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? There was a proper leader. So a suluk needs guide. Anyone who is on the way of suluk needs to have a proper guide. But the question, I know, is a very paradoxical question comes, So where in New Zealand, how do I find a guy? Where is it? It's not, I'm not in Iraq or Iran or those places that a lot of religious and spiritual people are there. How do I find them? There is a very important rule which we have to learn, is when we are on the way of Suluk, usually those people will find us. We don't have to look for a person. That's a very beautiful, is beautiful rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that easy. If you look at the whole creation, I'm sure it takes a lot more time for me to explain that. But so I just touch it and pass. I don't have, there's no time to explain it. But if you look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on fulfillment of the needy. Whatever, it's not only financial need. There is always some people who have talab, and there are some people who are fulfilling that talab. So if that talab is in us, that person will find us. Definitely. So we should not, when I say we have to have the right guide, it doesn't mean we should start to walk around in the streets and see someone with a little bit of beard or whitish, or go and ask him, will you please come and be my guide? It doesn't work like that. Usually the guide will find the person himself. Wherever it is, doesn't matter. It can be in New Zealand, it can be... So even, I tell you, so much so that sometimes your guide is within yourself. You may not know. I know of people even in New Zealand. I know of people in New Zealand that they have guide within themselves. What do I mean by within themselves? I said, if you remember, I said, we are a creature, and sun is a creature, from earth to the skies. But we are not at all times conscious about our higher levels of existence. So there are times that our higher levels of existence do appear to us and teach us what to do. It can be in dream, it can be in wakefulness, in terms of, they call it mukashafa. So all I want to conclude is, we do need guide in Suluk, but we may not get it immediately, but we have to have that real zeal in heart, and he will show up himself to us, whether it's in terms of a friend or a teacher or an event comes to a person in dream, that people can be led. So that was the third thing. The fourth thing in the Suluk, in this, from the journey of Karbala, one would gather, is which I said the other day, is with the khutbah, the start of the talk of Imam Hussain. He says, Alhamdulillah. So we have to learn by that Alhamdulillah, we have to learn that all the praise and all the goodness belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is of our own. Or nothing, whenever you praise anything, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter whether you are conscious of that fact or you are not conscious of that fact. When you say, what a beautiful house, what a beautiful car, what a beautiful scenery, what a beautiful, whatever, what any beauty. Of course, the higher the level of the beauties are, the more praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are doing, knowingly or unknowingly. Masalan, if you see the creation of Allah, and for example, what I said about circle of existence, and if you can observe that around you, that those type of beauties, you have no way other than directly praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's not like a painting, they say, oh, Mr. So has done that. You know, existence comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to remind you of something, and that is this concept and this type of talks that we have takes two important things to stay with us. Because we hear it and we go away, and tomorrow we come and we hear another topic, and the next day another topic. So what happens gradually, especially the concept side of the thing, gradually go to a sort of a lower level of our conscious, and we become unconscious about it, and we forget them. Let's put it this way, we will forget them. So what I call it, one is called tasbeet, and one is called tamrin. Tasbeet means you have to intensify that concept in yourself. How to intensify a concept? You have to think about it. We have to ponder upon it. There's no wonder why, masalan, there are ahadith like that 1 hour of thinking and contemplation is worth more than 70 years of worship. Why? Allah has not created people to become Zahid and Abid. Allah does not want Abid. Allah wants people who contemplate. I read this hadith, few hadiths about this at the beginning of the sessions. So, it's important that we do tasbid of this concept in us by thinking about them. We get 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Of course, those people who do suluk, usually they have very clear instruction and prescriptions from their guide that you get up in the morning before Fajr, half an hour, 45 minutes, you keep continue on a contemplation of the concepts or studies that you have done. So that you make them what I refer to as tasbid. You intensify them in you so that you do not forget them. The second thing about it is tamreen. Tamreen, of course, these two words are, I've just made it. Made it means they are relevant in the context. But what I mean by that, if in Arabic you might find it not exactly what I explained about it, tamreen means practicing it. It doesn't mean the same thing? Yeah. So you practice. So a lot of the concept needs practice. Because when you talk about, when you learn farzan, you have to be generous. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that a generous non-mu'min is closer to heaven than a bakhil mu'min. So that means this needs tamreen. That means we have to practice. Generosity should be practiced, giving away, giving away, giving away, until it becomes habit, or what we call, I'm sure in Arabic you say the same thing, it creates malakay of nafs. That means becomes a strong habit of the nafs, generosity. And after certain years of practicing it, what happens? When generosity or any other attribute, when it's practiced for longer than, let's say 20 years, 30 years, that becomes sifat. When it becomes sifat, I don't know, can you... So let me see. No. It's a kind of offline. Can you get on it? So when it becomes sifat, that means anything which becomes sifat, which is attributes, is inseparable from zat. Inseparable from zat. We read Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha says, "Fakamalu tawhid nafiy sifat an." This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the peak of tawhid is when you deny sifat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, denying sifat from Allah means that you do not separate sifat from the zat of Allah. You do not say Allah is an entity who also has an attribute of generosity. It doesn't work like that. Generosity and zat of Allah are both the same thing. They are inseparable. So similarly, when insan, a human, when he works towards an attribute for long years, it becomes as an inseparable attribute of the zat. So that zat and that attribute are both the same thing. Masalan, if you say water, can you separate wetness from water? It's impossible. If you take wetness from water, it's qalb mahiyat. That means you're talking about a different thing. So if you cannot take heat from the fire, heat from the fire is qalb mahiyat. Yani, if you're talking about that heat is, these are examples only. Heat is that attribute of the fire. They are inseparable. So insan, with doing a lot of practices over the years, gradually becomes, those habits become attribute of him, and God forbid, it's not only for good things. Masala, we hear a hadith that people who are angry, they don't have anger control. And Allah salawat, please. We are angry, and they have kept this attribute of anger with them over the years. What happens? We know that in Barzakh they look like dog. There are hadiths for that. What does that mean, they look like dog? It's not because we are not appearing with this body anymore, right? We have a different type of body there, but anyway, so that becomes attribute of us. And if you are a very angry person, we will look at that. If you are a cheating person and becomes an attribute, keep cheating people, keep deceiving people. We will look like a fox in the hereafter. So, it's important that in both sides of this exists, we keep practicing so that this becomes part of our Zot. And when the good things become your Zot, that means you are not Mr. So and generous or Mrs. So and generous. You are a generous person by your by Zot. So, what was I talking about? Alhamdulillah. Was it Alhamdulillah? Okay. So I think you're getting late. It's 11. I stopped tonight, but from tomorrow night, because it is weekend, inshallah we can have longer a bit longer, so that because there are 3-4 more nights only left. But anyway, so Alhamdulillah, I explained it, and I say one more rule of the suluk. Shall I or not?
One more.
Imam says Alhamdulillah, and then says MashaAllah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. MashaAllah, as I also explained the other day, is a very important part of the suluk. That means we have to leave and give away all our own wants. In the way of suluk, people only look at what Allah wants, not what you want. Please mute your mic. Thank you. So in the way of suluk, we have to give away our own sha' or our own want or our own will. We have to see what does Allah wants. When it is all, this applies for our even daily life. Does Allah wants me not to work and sit at home? Of course not. Allah wants me to work and earn the sustenance of my family. Does Allah wants me to overwork and spend all my time on working? Of course, Allah does not want it. So there are plenty of this thing. I can tell you, 24/7 we are on this fork road, going this way or going this way, because most of the times, at least that is correct for me. Most of the time, I'm going for my own will and for my own want, and very little relevance to what Allah wants me. Of course, as I said the other day or the other night, there are two ways of life with religion. Some people are living a life, and it has come back, I think. Some people are living a life, they also do their religious things as well. They do their salat and they do their fast, they pay their homes. There's nothing wrong in it, but nevertheless, that's a very lower level of a life, of a religious life. Of course, they will even end up in heaven, but heavens also have different levels. Similarly here, I mean, they can take us to a better place, or they can give us a better prize. So, but suluk is a different thing. Suluk is not for rewards of Jannah. Suluk is, people who are on the way of suluk, they only want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't want anything else. They don't work for Jannah, and they're not afraid of Jahannam. So, but there are other type of life that people, they only work, their only reason of living is to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the meantime, they are told that they have to work as well to earn money. They are told that they have to do certain other things in life. But that's not the motivation of them. They don't live on that. So, let's stop it just here, because I can see you have to go tomorrow to work. And I know you have been too kind to listen to me with such a late night. And thank you very much. Inshallah, tomorrow we continue. And please, tomorrow, I request again, tomorrow, leave your tea for after the session. Or bring your tea here, we have it together. Bar Muhammad al Muhammad Salam.